So, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, in 1965 at the Nuremberg International Toy Fair, I picked up a special little toy.
Was it some kind of kinetoscope?
Yeah, that's like the 1925 World Fair. Ah, this is 1965, and we have moved into the future with the spirograph.
Teaching you about entropy, right?
Yeah, teaching you about entropy, teaching you about like posters to look at while you're stoned, teaching you about screensaver technology, all of these things. And this one I bought from a guy who sells gremlins, and I think that's going to do something magic when I use it.
Okay.
So I thought maybe we would, maybe we'll get sucked into another world. Maybe we'll get bored and go get some hot dogs afterwards.
I'm skeptical, but tempted by hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs are good. Chili dogs are good. Here, now hold on a second. Come up with a spirograph sound effect. And there we go.
Whoa! Brayden, what are you doing here?
Oh, I heard someone was going to go get some hot dogs.
Oh, cool. Gary, where are we at?
Cool world.
Fuck!
I'm really confused.
All right, boys. Ground rule right now at the top of the podcast.
Okay.
Noids do not have sex with doodles.
Okay, cool. And we have to enforce this with an iron fist.
Yes.
Okay, what are noids?
I know I'm supposed to avoid the noid.
Yeah.
But what happens?
So that's
when
what you mean, right?
Well, in Cool World, you are the noid. And they're to avoid you.
Oh, so it's a sequel to the Noid game for the NES. You forgot that existed.
Yeah.
And now your world's a little bit worse.
Never forget. I am Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Brayden Cameron.
Hey, Brayden.
Hey, Brayden.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's our first ever guest on Abject Suffering.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Why are you doing this to us?
Why are you doing... Why?
You're a bad gamer.
Why, Brayden?
And then to do it to me, why? Mm-hmm. What did I do? I didn't even ask for this the way that they
no,
do.
No, we inflicted it on you. We want you to share.
It's Eric Hyde. Eric Hyde, who you've met in real life, Brayden.
Yeah, I know Eric.
Yeah, he's fucking you over left and right.
So wait a minute, why does he have beef with me? Eric.
Huh?
Okay, so let's make a beef chart.
Okay.
Just try and figure out where this stems from.
What parts
from.
Of the cow make the best meat?
Yeah. Which cut of meat is the most hateful?
Yeah. It's the cut of Cool World.
Yeah, I'd argue the filet.
Yeah.
But no, Cool World for the Super Nintendo based on the hit 1992 movie? Yeah, 1992.
Yeah, made back half its budget.
Is it safe to say that it was a hit movie?
No.
Nope. This thing did Bebe's Kids numbers.
Yep.
Bebe's Kids.
I am there you go. I am prone to spurious claims.
I'm Ralph Bakshi. We're going to do Bebe's Kids numbers. I'm a big pervert animator from the 70s. I want to have sex with cartoons.
But he gets the job done.
Yeah. Notable for being a pretty early Brad Pitt movie, right? A pretty late Kim Basinger movie.
Right in the middle Gabriel Byrne movie.
Yeah, Gabriel Byrne of Miller's Crossing and Madigan Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And The Unusual Suspects.
Yes.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Possibly his lowest point.
The Nadir. This was rock bottom for him.
Yeah, it should be. So you guys haven't seen this movie?
Nope.
No.
Watch the trailer. Felt real icky.
Yeah, it's real icky's the good word for it. I was trying to think. So I've seen this movie twice in the theater when it came out because super bored and you just go see movies.
Yeah.
But I remember wanting to see it in the first place. And I was trying to think why I wanted to. And, you know, the kid in 1992, I was 12. the reason could only have been because it gave me some kind of boner.
Yeah.
Like, that had to be it. Like, I was probably pretty turned on by Cool World. And it was 20 years ago, so I don't feel that embarrassed about it, but...
Right, right.
Was this, Gary, to delve into your past a little bit, was this also during the period of time when you would occasionally run outside and yell Mortal Kombat?
Yes. It was probably very close
like
to that
kids
time.
Did in the commercial.
Yep. Indeed.
Yeah.
That was an afternoon for 12-year-old Gary. Get up, you run outside, yell Mortal Kombat in the middle of the street,
and see then what immediately would happen?
Run down to the theater to see Cool World and Captain Ron as a double feature.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Captain Ron.
That's funny. That's two nadirs. Like Kurt Russell, he was a pretty low point there, too.
Yeah, 1992 was a good time for Gary and a bad time for those motherfuckers.
Yeah, when did Hook come out? Because I think we're aiming for the trifecta. It's 1991. That's close enough though. They were probably in development at the same time, so we could do.
Did the Hook game come out in 1992?
Maybe.
Isn't the Hook game not that bad? The Nintendo one. I feel like it's not that bad, if I recall.
I've never played it. But I just want to say, like, we're on our way to a festival of, like, awful movies from the early 90s that are kind of aimed at kids. I guess Captain Rod wouldn't be aimed at kids, but that are, like, the low points of each of their leading actors' respective careers.
Yeah, I hope this isn't aimed at kids.
Yeah.
Like, the movie, like, I think that, like, to get in, I had to either sneak in or maybe, like, Derek's sister took us. She would take us to see movies that were rated, you know, above us, like PG-13 and up. Because this was real dirty.
Oh yeah. Well, the very premise of it, just the idea that like that this cartoon lady wants to jump this dude's bone, you know,
so bad too. She's just like, yeah, ooh,
yeah,
and just everything looks greasy.
But she's only doing it to escape Cool World and become a real noid,
right?
Yeah,
because there's no jobs in Cool World, so she wants to go become a noid.
She's like,
and now we're annoyed.
Yeah.
And her name is Holly Wood.
Holly Wood.
If she could,
fuck you in the
and
back of a car.
She will. Yeah.
Yes.
Ugh, well, man. I mean, Gabriel Byrne, isn't his character name like Jack something? What do you know?
His name is Jack Deebs.
Okay, so Jack Deebs, obviously not the most creative person.
He only draws things he sees.
Well, he had a dream.
Oh, yeah.
They all came from dreams.
Mm-hmm. And he believes that it's divine inspiration, right? So he's drawing the Cool World and, you know, selling it from prison. And he's about to get out. And they're all like, nope, it's Holly Wood who has been seducing him from beyond this dimension.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's a plot of Cool World. And and Brad Pitt spends a bunch of time trying to stop him.
Yeah.
And then all the cartoons are terrible murderers and, you know, monsters. Do you know the original plot to the movie is like way cooler than that? Like,
it's supposed to be like way darker, right?
Yeah. It's a horror movie where like a guy has sex with his cartoon and then has a kid. And the kid like grows up like as this kind of half human, half cartoon monster who's trying to kill him for giving birth to her.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's like way, way better. But they rewrote it in secret behind Ralph Bakshi's back after he pitched it.
Huh.
Like literally behind his back.
Yeah. They just had a small desk on wheels that just literally tied to a rope.
That was mounted to him like a
tape. Every time I turn around, I hear this sound. It's like... What is that sound?
It drove him mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So mad that he made Cool World.
Yeah. So yeah. I find it hard to believe that this wasn't to a degree aimed at kids. But I hope not. So here's the thing. When I was playing the game and after I had watched the movie, it's like I don't have too much trouble believing that a lot of kids had like formative like sexual thoughts like, oh, I'm turned on by Bugs Bunny when he's dressing up like a girl, famously from, you know, Wayne's World, right?
Right? Sure.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, the majority of the media that you're exposed to at this very weird, sensitive age is animated. And I think that, like, just like there are these milestones for development, like, oh, learns to share, learns how to talk, I think that eventually it becomes learns how to not be turned on by cartoons. And this is the evil alternate version of Roger Rabbit for people who were not And so, like, Roger Rabbit is definitely problematic because of, you know, what's her name? But I would say that this is, like, just specifically aimed at potential future anime perverts.
In Roger Rabbit, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead, Gary, because then I don't want to get too intellectual here.
Well, I was just going to say that in Roger Rabbit, you think that they're going to bone, and you really, really, you think they're going to bone. Mm. And you're just, you know, you're just, I want to see, you know. But the they just end up playing patty cake.
Yeah.
Here, it is explicit. Like, yep. I think that there's some point where she says something like, you know, I need your noid dick up in my urethra or something like that. Like, I think she just gets that doesn't happen.
I hope, but she's very like urethra.
Yeah.
Huh? I like an infection.
Well doodles are different. Like an infection.
Yeah, well, doodles, I think doodles have cloaca, right?
Yeah. Yeah, some of them do.
They reproduce with the cloacal
she's
kiss.
Probably half bird. Like some kind of well, if you're gonna draw something, you want to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Like if you're drawing a vagina, you don't draw a separate aperture. You know, you're not going to get that kind of detail.
No.
So,
right.
That's just good character design.
But anyway, so it's super explicit. Like, it's not, it's like a weird, grosser version of Roger Rabbit just because it's literally like, we need to bone. Mm-hmm. Like, we are going to get down.
I think there's two ways you can think about it. Like, in one sense, the thing about Jessica Rabbit specifically is that while she's drawn specifically in that over-sexualized way, her lines in the movie are drawing attention to the fact that she's been, of course, her famous line, I'm not bad, I'm just drawn this way, is mm-hmm. specifically like drawing attention to the fact that there's a bunch of pervert artists out there making people like her exist.
Mm-hmm.
So she's mm-hmm. actually kind of this like underwritten weird hero. But on the other hand, with Cool World, it's like Hollywood specifically is like this kind of symbol of pornography. In that it's just super objectifying a woman in the most sexualized context that you can get away with. And the only way you can do that is by making her not alive, by making her a cartoon.
But then how would you know, she becomes alive at that point? And then right. Well, that's equally objectified. I guess that's why it is, you know, this game doesn't pass the Bechdel test. Kind of thing. So
I think it wipes its ass with the Bechdel test.
There's one woman in the entire movie that
we don't know the gender of that spider. Actually,
touche.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this premise is like Goosebumps level, and it's kind of like you could probably do some kind of, you know, Charlie Kaufman-esque version of like person gets lost in his own creation. Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like what this reads as is adolescent wish fulfillment. Like, oh, and then I touched the screen and I went into the world of Sonic. Blah. It's like the beginning of a fan fiction for the world that this guy created.
Or Captain N.
Yeah. To make a recommendation, there's an episode of Tales from the Crypt with Harry Anderson where he's a cartoonist for like a Mad Magazine style thing, and his cartoons start coming to life. And they look like they're made of like puppets and makeup and stuff, and they're really horrific. Like he draws. Who's that Mad Magazine artist who draws the really ugly people? Like kind of famously.
I have no
idea. There's somebody from Mad who just draws like super ugly people, and it's that kind of style. And then they're in real life. They're just these fleshy mutant things that keep like. So as soon as he draws one, like one of them traps a kid in a refrigerator, you know, across town. Like they're just coming to life around him. In the city without him necessarily knowing it at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good Tales from the Crypt.
Hmm.
That does this you know, that kind of idea pretty well, at least as far as horror goes. It's not as thematically like strong as getting lost in your own work, but it does a better job of like, oh, you know, cartoon things would be disgusting in real life. Like, have mm-hmm. you seen that picture of the fleshy Bart?
Yep.
Yeah, that like Bart Simpson that would be like in real life. Ugh.
Or that mugshot of the real life Beavis.
Yeah.
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 Ugh. Yeah.
Gross.
But so Cool World, if we haven't said it explicitly, it is hybrid animation and live action. So it's not Brad Pitt voicing a character, the movie. And like in kind of this weird analog to that, the game itself has like this weird mismatch of styles that isn't nearly as effective as the hybrid animation. Like, this isn't the Incredible Mr. Limpet. This is like, ugh. But no, so what I mean by that is they digitize Gabriel Byrne and Brad Pitt super grossly, and then they have everything else be this like flat colors with thick holding lines like a cartoon, and it just and the backgrounds don't match that at all either, and so it is a war crime to look at.
It is very ugly.
Yeah.
It's also weird that you'd expect, like, it's a licensed game, you expect shitty platformer, and you're right, but in addition it's a shitty platformer adventure game.
Yeah. To call back like to 5 minutes ago with Beavis, you know, it's like the Beavis and Butthead SNES game, or Genesis game, rather.
Yeah. Or Roger Rabbit for the NES, where it's like really about like collecting items and kind of solving puzzles through trading stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and collecting items in a way that doesn't make any sense, because some items you pick up and they stay with you forever, and some items drop when you pick up other items.
Yeah, you have, like, an equipable item that, like, it's like Dizzy, like Adventure Island Dizzy or whatever, where you can just have one item at a time in a certain slot, which is really frustrating. That's a bad way to do a thing. And then you're constantly being chased by these the popper police. Those little tiny cop things that jump on you that I could not get off of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, full of cheap deaths, too. That guy come up and ask you guys for a nickel.
Yeah.
And then blow you up and you can get away from the dynamite.
Yeah, which that guy is standing between you and the nickels you can get.
Yeah, so, fuck that. That's so stupid.
From the first screen, like literally maybe like everything you can see when you first spawn in, there are at least three ways to die instantly.
Yeah.
Which are to either have that guy, that mugger, shake you down, to figure out how to jump up to the roof and hit that plunger, some of which reveal hidden paths, other ones just kill you. And there's no way to tell the difference. Or you can just stand there and wait for the popper police to come up and, you know, help you have illicit sex.
Yeah.
So am I mistaken? Is Brad Pitt's only part in this entire game is when the police capture you, he says, don't have sex.
Okay. We saw another Noid here. You got to know.
We'll do, Brad.
It's like the Garden of Eden. There was only one rule. If only he could.
Well, getting into it, Brad Pitt, like the reason why he's probably so uptight about this is because he's probably, you know, drowning in doodle pee.
Oh yeah, but you know? but Holly doodles. Is the only vaguely humanoid doodle that you see, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a real Smurfette kind of thing. Yeah. Like if you were going to have sex with any of the doodles, which one would it be?
Hollywood, I guess, but then it brings apart upon the apocalypse, so I don't know.
I know, it's hard. You guys gotta decide. And sometimes, guys, when it comes to dipping my wick, sometimes I wouldn't mind if the universe got exploded if it got a chance that
Yeah, girl. I'm gonna ruin your world and then we're gonna ruin the world together. It's real sad.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring you to my world and we can destroy it.
Yep.
Okay, well let's pause at this for a moment. Condoms are made out of rubber, much like eraser heads. So, like, this could be very dangerous for her.
Eraser heads are made out of Jack Nance.
Yeah, that's an idea. We had to get one of those special, like, sheepskins or something like that. Or non-latex. Like, it would require require a cartoon condom in a cartoon world.
So wait a second. I need some clarification here. She's trying to jump his bones so she can seduce him and get back to the real world. Is there something where if they have sex, it immediately ends the world? Because she's looking for like a spike or something, right? If Wikipedia is to be believed.
Yeah, the spike is what teleports people between the worlds, I think. When she has sex, it turns her into a human.
Oh.
But it also causes like the reality, the fabric of reality to start fading.
Okay.
And then Brad Pitt's sent to the real world to capture her. The much cheaper and non-animated real world for most of the movie.
I feel like this is a good time to point out. I played this game for about 20 minutes. And I also watched someone play it. And they beat the game in less than 30 minutes. But there's a scene. Okay, let me give you the quick plot here, which you could imagine. Is that... you have to get flowers to get into the club. And once you get into the club, you have to get a soda for Holly. And then once you get that, Holly says, hey, meet me at the special place, which is on top of her mansion. So you go there. And then there's like the meetup transformation scene. And I'm fairly certain there's digital nipple in there.
Oh, Yeah, I didn't. I got the flowers. I was surprisingly close to getting that diginip.
Damn,
I didn't realize it.
Okay, guys, let's take a break. We'll come back in less than a half an hour and report back on diginip.
Yeah, on this diginip. The way you get the flowers is super fucking asinine. You can't go into the library unless you already have a book.
Right, because you got to return.
That's where you get books, stupid. And then you have to trade the book for a flower that happens to be in a library, which is a place where there are books.
Yeah. Well, no, you need to go. You need to go in there, because the florist, you need a flower to get inside of there.
Yeah. But why do you need a flower? No. Did you guys get the car?
No.
Did you guys go make it to Candyland? Okay.
Yeah, I made it to Candyland. I got into the malt shop. As far as I got.
Yeah, me too. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Once you get, that's the thing. It's like, okay, here, the plot is like once you get in and get her a soda, you have to get her a present, and the present is in the malt shop. Now I don't know how you go from the malt shop to her mansion. That's the part I'm forgetting right now. But once you give her the present, then she transports herself into real world instead of cool world.
What a weird dating sim.
You're describing like a late 90s Newgrounds Flash dating sim.
Yeah,
like I will make my princess my own.
yeah.
Devoid of the fact that like this has probably some of the worst platforming I've seen this side of Kid Cool. Like just talking about those broad steps of how to progress, it sounds like a dating sim.
I wish you had driven in the car, Cole. The car controls like it's real special. The car is very special.
It's like a real shitty Battletoads warp sled platform, right?
Yeah.
But there's random street lights that will just turn red, and then you just sit there until they decide to turn green.
Like those weirdos that play Grand Theft Auto, obeying all the traffic rules. And anytime you get hit, your car crunches a little bit, no matter what you get hit by. I barely made it out of there.
Oh, so it deforms?
Yeah, it just keeps crunching. Yeah. It's like a crumple car. And it just keeps crumbling down.
You take enough damage and you die.
Yeah. I think there are unlimited continues.
No, there definitely aren't.
They're not? Okay, because I continued and still had all my stuff. And I was like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
But,
In my experience, there weren't. I may not have noticed, or I may not have gotten enough stuff to necessitate me noticing that I kept any of it over. Because I made absolutely no progress.
The guy in the Let's Play said there was a limited number of continues, but never said how many.
Oh.
Mm.
It's possible that no one knows.
Nobody played far enough to figure it out.
Can we talk a little bit about how the Y button jumps?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Say it.
Yeah, the Y button jumps. Don't do that. Never.
A, B, or B, Y. Punches, and the X button does the weird grapple thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sucks that item, that fist thing, is one of the items that gets exchanged for other things because it's so useful. It's like your weapon and your grappling hook.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the game that finally breaks your you like anything with a grappling hook, Cole?
No, because it doesn't actually function like a grappling hook. You don't do any kind of swing. It doesn't do a parabola.
You don't actually need to hang on to that item for that to work. Once you pick it up, you have it forever.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it was in the
flowers and do.
It was at the spot at the top of the screen where the punch thing was.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was gone. The punch thing was there, and then I picked up the flowers, and it took its place. So I thought I didn't have the punch thing anymore.
Yeah.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It needs an inventory screen. Why didn't you just give it a fucking inventory screen?
I can press select and then just move this stuff left and right. Well, that would probably make it so you could beat the game in 10 minutes as opposed to having to swap stuff back and forth. So rather than make the game better, so we had to make more game, let's just hinder you like this. Yeah. No. So I don't even know. So all we have to do to we can fix the controls. We just have to wait for them to port it to GameCube, Gary.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah. That way it'll be unfucked.
It's what we're all waiting for, really.
Yeah. It's the HD remake.
Yeah, HD remake or 3DS port.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's what I want.
Yeah, there is an NES version of the game too. I didn't play it, but I'm looking at it here. It kind of looks like the Total Recall game.
in terms that good, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, just looking at the proportions of the screen, thankfully, you know, you don't have a digitized actor, you know, going up against other kind of more traditional sprite artwork. But man, I don't even know.
Okay, so guys, I know you didn't get very far. Can I tell you about the rest of the game?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So after the digital nipple, you have to go get an item called the pen, which is, I think, you have to buy from the pawn shop.
Yep.
And the pen helps you suck up droodles or doodles or whatever they are when you're in the real world. The thing is, the pen starts a countdown that doesn't actually appear on the screen or tells you about the countdown, that just automatically takes you into the real world. So, like, in this period of time, you have to then go back to the malt shop after getting the pen. You have to go back to the malt shop, get the spike, and then wait around until this arbitrary moment takes place.
Ah.
So it'd be like in Fallout if you had to wait the 400 days for yeah. the super mutants to get back to your town so you could defend it.
Yeah.
Yes. Ugh. Except they don't tell you it's 400 days. You just have to wait and hope.
Yeah.
God, that would be not an adventure game. Like, because you'd be spending so much time doing everything while that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but also, I mean, you know how difficult this game is and how annoying it is. Like, you can't jump well. The punching only works half the time. You have a limited amount of time to get the spike before you go to the real world, which is the thing that you need to end the game. But if you don't get it, then you've lost.
Yeah, and there's no... And
I don't
it.
Think there's
don't
a way back.
Oh.
Yeah. So let's talk about the controls here for a second. Like, being able to to jump at a diagonal. So, like, anything that you did would make you just jump straight up. Like, you had to actually get, like, a running start to do your usual parabolic jump, right? Oh, and also, any action that you had to do, it took maybe, like, 4 or 5 frames for it to actually activate, like, to do that. So if I was trying to punch or, you know, do the little elastic arm up, I would hit that, wonder if I can't do it, do something else, and then realize, oh, it didn't recognize that I signaled to do this other thing, but when I pressed a button to do something else, it recognized that I was interrupting the first thing. Like, this game is like just so poorly tuned.
It's
tuned spelled with 2 O's.
I would like to point out, let's all go around the table and say one thing that we think is a real travesty about this game.
Okay.
So that's
I said
true.
Mine.
I would like to say the non-clear telegraphing of ways you can interact with enemies and the environment. So, like, what things are in the background are actually ledges? I don't know. Some. What enemies can be jumped on? I don't know. Some of them. Some things you just jump right on through, though. You know, what enemies can be punched? I don't know. Like, it just sometimes the punch just goes right through them. There's nothing that tells you the difference between any of those things. And you don't know what the things are going to do when you hit them. Like, some toons are just harmless idiots, and they just walk on by. Some of them will blow you up and kill you instantly, and there's nothing to indicate it other than just, trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Cool World.
Braden.
Yeah. Fuck you, Cool World. I almost said Cool World, and I would have felt really
Yeah, fuck you, Cool World.
No, I haven't released Cool World.
That's my... It's still in beta.
Yeah. It's my free-to-play MMO.
It's about a guy.
It's about
a guy. No, yeah, no offense,
is a tune,
no, thank you.
And then he goes to the real world. And he has sex with a real-world girl named Holly Cole.
Cole World's
and
already
then
been
she turns into a cartoon.
You're just saying the opposite
Cole
of Cool World.
Yeah, Cool World's already been released. It's called Microsoft Excel 2007. And you just organize your whole life by it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear something?
I think that's just that's an EVE Online joke, right?
No, I don't.
No, it was a Cole Ross joke.
No, right? I don't play EVE Online. He's referring to the fact that, like, my chores, I have reminders set to do, like, okay, I need to change my sheets on the first and third Sunday of every month. Right? stuff like that. Just like little reminders, efficiencies, right?
Then the klaxon, klaxon elements of Cole.
Yeah.
That's what I'm making fun of. Cole's a unification government.
Yes. Yeah. if everybody else would just understand, things would go so much more smoothly. Oh, well, yeah, Cole, yeah, you're right. It would just be Microsoft Excel and probably, let's say, OmniFocus and then a bunch of SAD. Yeah.
Some sort of calendar.
Yeah. Busy Cal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then a really long gift set of Merlin Mann.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Oh, man. Does he look nice today on repeat? But Braden, share a travesty with us.
Oh, gosh. This game has nothing that's fun in it. Yeah, everything is terrible. There's no explanation of the story. We'll focus on that. Okay. There's no explanation of the story. There's no explanation of what you're supposed to do. And then occasionally, to go kind of with Gary's point, when you do find a guy or a tune or whatever that has something to say, it's usually only up there for a second or two before you're killed.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, as far as adventure games go, like, I was doing fine with the really terrible platforming, but I had no concept of what I was doing. Mm. You know, I made it all the way to the malt shop, but what did that do? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They tell you to collect nickels, but what do they do? No one tells you.
Well, no, it's so that guy won't kill you. Oh, and you can open up a bank account and it gathers interest, I guess.
Yeah. The bank scene's real weird with that like piranha plant in the lower right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that it's whack-a-mole with a teller.
Well, he was closed all the time. Can you actually get him to take your money?
Yeah.
Oh,
he walks to different teller booths and then opens them up for like a second and then closes it back down.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, you had to have at least 10 nickels. Wait a minute. So nickels are animate objects, right? They are they're sentient beings. They jump up and down. They have eyes and arms and all those kind of things.
Dreams.
For the most part.
Bank.
Sometimes
you have to knock them out of the air, I guess. But wouldn't a bank just be sitting around? Yeah, just sitting around playing dice. Yeah. Wouldn't a bank just be a prison for nickels? Like you have a bunch of nickels in the back there, just running tin cups over the bars, singing blues songs,
lifting weights.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean. Is dynamite really that much cheaper than a single nickel that this guy can make a profit? Like that one guy, the little yellow cat outside that blows you up? Like, is there?
That's true.
Like, I don't understand. There's so many loopholes and things that I don't get.
That whole like everything being animate thing was problematic in Roger Rabbit too. Like where he gets out his six shooter with all the cowboy bullets. Like once he shoots somebody, what happens to those guys? Like they just like, why do I get to live in this corpse now? You know, this will be my home. I'm going to hollow out this stomach and create a little apartment. You know, I just, it's kind of weird. You know, everything being animate is a real nightmare for not just for us, but also for them.
It's like one of my favorite Perry Bible fellowships with the Power Rangers robot kind of team. You're like, activate. And they fire the bullet and the bullet's blue. And then in the final panel, the Blue Ranger's missing.
Yeah. That's great. Guntron activate or whatever.
You
know what it reminds me of is an episode of Yu-Gi-Oh in which Pegasus reveals the unknown Toon World card and everything goes to hell.
Aren't there already
Toon World in Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah, I think it's called Toon Town now that I'm thinking about it, but yeah.
You're fucking with me.
No, I'm serious.
Okay,
it's not in the actual game, it's only in the cartoon.
Okay, so is the idea that they're summoners and they bring beings over to our side and they go into their side, and it's like the other way around? Okay, Braden, is this like those weird sequels to The Indian in the Cupboard where they realize it's the key that's magic and not the cupboard, and he uses that to warp to the land of the Indians?
Yeah, and then they're all in that Joe Hill novel, graphic
Lock
novel,
and Key.
Lock and Key.
You're just trying to backdoor another Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode to this. Come on,
I just want you guys to watch more Yu-Gi-Oh! That's all.
I'm on to you, Cameron.
Oh man, we got a lot of response to that. It's probably enough. The only Game Facts review is 9 out of 10. Really awesome. Yeah, you gotta check this title out.
It's one of those sarcastic ones.
Yeah.
Like there's no like true believers, and there's also like there's two entries on the message board and one Game Fact that's very serviceable. Like it is not a game. It is an obscure game.
Yeah.
There's not.
Can
much
I say
going
the music isn't terrible. I mean, it's a little repetitive, but it, like other than the title screen music, it's not that bad.
Hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Good use of Mode 7.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mode 7 never like looks that good, yeah. But like, yeah, it works just fine. You're falling into a cartoon world. It doesn't look like a cartoon world. It looks like you're falling onto an elaborate tart. But
when you leave Cool World, same thing but backwards.
No, really?
Yep.
Jeez, how lazy is that?
I wish I had time to. I was kind of scrambling here at the last minute. I wish I had time to watch that Let's Play or that speedrun of this. Is there about
a speedrun?
Oh no, just
no. Well, there's kind of a boss, but it's not really a boss.
It's a cartoon version of Christopher Lloyd.
It's at the very end. You're gonna go place the spike on the top of whatever hotel it is, Gary. You know, it's like the Ocean Bay Motel or whatever, and. Holly is the last person, and she summons a bunch of doodles that will kill you if they all like hit you. But so if you just run away and then suck them all up with the pen, which is something you can do, then she doesn't do anything, and then you just put the spike down.
Mm.
Hmm.
Yeah, Holly's the villain of the story. I forgot about
she's
that.
The femme fatale, right?
Yeah,
yeah. She's like you know, the one lady from Double Indemnity, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Or Kathleen Turner from Body Heat. I can just keep naming femme fatales if you would like. But yeah.
Oh, sure.
And well, speaking of femme fatales, Eric Heiden go fuck himself.
Pretty much.
So go fuck yourself, Eric.
Yeah.
The terrible goddamn game.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Although I'm looking at the GameFAQs games you might like. Apparently there's a game called Radio Flyer.
And I'm trying based on
the wagons?
No, based on the movie.
Oh.
Did you ever see that, or you remember that movie, Radio Flyer?
No.
The movie about the flyer?
It was about animate wagons that go into a world made out of tunes
it's
have
Pixar's
sex with a woman.
Yeah.
It was Pixar's Wagons.
Spelled with a Z.
Starring John Ratzenberger.
In the lead role, finally. Cliff gets his day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Eric, why come on.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. I know we said we were gonna do Bad Mojo. Mm-hmm. This was actually, and then we gave ourselves the out for not doing Bad Mojo, and we didn't end up even using it. Like, it's not like we couldn't get it to install, we just ran out of time,
right?
So everybody will forgive us, and we're gonna do Bad Mojo next time.
Yeah,
so
cool.
If we can get it to run,
you know, all those kind of things. I think I'll be able to. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you for listening, everybody. And by way of admin, you know, we have the Facebook group. We also have, you know, the iTunes ratings and reviews and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can listen to other shows. They're all on duckfeed.tv, specifically The Pitch, if you like Brayton. Mm-hmm. It's me and Brayton's old show. Mm-hmm. Come check that out. Listen to me and Brayton be goofs.
Additionally, if you like Brayton, this week there's an episode of Watch Out for Fireballs coming out about Master of Orion 2, and Brayton is going to be on that as well.
Yeah, he's going to function as our Sherpa.
Yes.
Yeah, in a cool sense, Sherpa. You won't be able. Yeah, you won't be able to get rid of me for a whole week.
Yeah, you get a couple weeks of break.
2 weeks.
It's a Brayton takeover.
2 weeks.
It's a breakover.
Yeah, it's a Brayton of fun. Do we have anything else?
No. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us for this, Brayton.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you, and bye, and Eric, you can eat my butt.
Eric, eat a butt.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.